Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your mental strength coach, guide, and mentor. To find out more about mental strength and Warrior Mind coaching, you can visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com. And our blog is at www.warriormindcoach.com blog. And again, with me today, my good friend and producer, Rishi.
Thank you, Greg. Where do we continue from now on after we've left off in the last recording?
Yeah, that was we've been discussing visualization for basically, the last three sessions, or in parts of visualization in the last three sessions. And I wanted to go a little bit deeper into it today and talk specifically about it with the law of attraction. Since The Secret's been out and What the Bleep, there's been a lot of and vision boards are big out there, and there's vision board groups, and all of those are very well indeed. However, if they worked as they're supposed to, there'd be more people achieving their success. So it's not that they don't work, it's that there are other components to visualization that, once understood, will help the visualization process. We talked last time about athletes and visualizing not necessarily their success, but visualizing their techniques on how to achieve the success. The success, or the winning the race, could be the motivation. But when you do the visualization, it is important to do the actual visualizing the techniques. So I think what I'd like to do is go a little bit more into that. Let's have a discussion about the techniques. Also, there's one thing we haven't covered yet about cleaning up the person's past. The perspectives we touched on a little bit about when you visualize, are you in the first, second, third person perspective? And then also about building rapport with your unconscious.
Sure, that sounds very exciting. And also, without knowing these components, someone turning into a book like The Secret or any types of books involving the law of attraction may not become a believer if they don't incorporate these type of components. They become a skeptic, and that's not what we want people to do. And we also don't want people going out saying, "Oh, it doesn't work. It's all fluff." But it does work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ernest Holmes, the Science of Mind founder, talks about, in a sense, there's laws in the universe that are laws. There's nothing you can dispute about them. Law of gravity. It's absolute. And all of the laws are not seen. So there's the law of electricity. We don't see electricity. We see the effect of electricity. We see the lightning, which is the effect of electricity. We see the apple falling, which is the effect of gravity. So again, once man, or once us, we people, know how to use those laws, we can control them to our benefit. So we know we can control the law of electricity because you're listening to this podcast. And then we know we can use the law of gravity, and that helps with planes flying and other things. So once we understand the laws and know how to use them, they're very effective. But one thing I'd like to say, just emphasis really quick on this, visualization is only a part of a person's personal success. There has to be action involved. And that's one of the things. I know that the law of attraction, depending on who you hear it from, and The Secret, and how you listen, which is, again, is back to our filters, because we distort, generalize, or delete information. So if a person doesn't want to take any action, they're not going to hear the word action in the movie The Secret. Mm-hmm. But if a person knows that they have to take action, they'll hear it. So for all those who haven't listened to The Secret or watched it, go back and listen to the words taking action, movement, doing something. But that has to take place. So it's not, you can't just sit and visualize. Just like an athlete doesn't sit and visualize, they have to actually take the action.
I guess that makes a difference between someone becoming very successful and someone who's just daydreaming and fantasizing about success.
Correct. And daydreaming, again, we talked about that last time, which is very helpful. It helps the creativity come up as to what you want. And daydream is very healthy also to relieve stress. If you're in a stressful situation, it's nice to daydream. What's important, though, is to take that and put it into a definite goal, a plan, and take purposeful action against that. So, when we talk about this, we'll probably make reference to athletes because they're really good at representing visualization. But we can use salespeople, we can use anybody, and I'll ask you to just ask for an example of stuff. But again, back to visualization, you know, we're going to talk about the technique, visualizing the technique. So the end result, let's say you want to get a Porsche. Well, visualizing yourself in the Porsche is fine. It's daydreaming, but it's not going to show you how to get to that area. With visualization, if you're a salesperson, what you would visualize is making those great sales calls, is being confident on the phone when you're making those cold calls, is being able to handle the objections perfectly and rerunning that movie over and over again until you handle all the objections before the meeting. Then you go into the meeting and it runs perfectly. Making those sales will then lead to the revenue to buy the Porsche. It's okay. I'm not saying don't visualize yourself in driving the Porsche and smelling it and all that, because that creates a forward pull, if you will. But to just visualize that by itself is not enough.
I remember you were telling me a story of someone who visualized being inside of the Porsche, but it turned out that he was inside a Porsche and test driving it, but he got turned down for the loan of that Porsche.
Absolutely. There was a challenge on that where he got his visualization. And he was visualizing a BMW, driving off with it, and he took it for a test drive. So his vision came true. He just didn't see himself owning it. And that was Topher Morrison, who is a great speaker, NLP practitioner, had that experience with it. One of the other aspects, and this gets kind of into goal setting and visualization, is when you visualize, again, we'll use the car, when you visualize yourself in the car constantly and do it so vividly, your unconscious mind already thinks you have it. So it doesn't produce any impetus for you, the conscious, to go out and get it because you already have it. So part of the key, if you do visualize the end result, is you would, and this is part of time empowerment, where you would sit here now, close your eyes, visualize yourself driving the Porsche, driving it around, you feel it, you hear the sounds, you now come out of the timeline now, you move forward to the appropriate time in the future when you want it, you drop that vision in your timeline, and then you disassociate from it. So you actually see yourself. You're not seeing it through your first person anymore, you're seeing it through your second person. So you're actually like you're watching a movie, see yourself there, and then come back to now and open your eyes. What that does is that removes you from the picture, so your unconscious doesn't think you already have it. Okay. So you remove yourself out of the car, you see the car sitting there without you in it, mm-hmm. and then it's out in the future, and that's what will create the forward pull from the unconscious. If you constantly see yourself already having it, and this is where there's fine-tuning in this whole process. If you visualize yourself already having it, your unconscious doesn't create that forward pull. When you do affirmations and talk about it, yes, you talk about as if you already have it. I'm grateful for the Porsche that I already have. Those things are true also. Mm-hmm. So there's a combination of it may seem like it's conflicting information, and we don't have the time right now to get into the details of that. But the visualization part is when you visualize that end goal and place it into your future with time and empowerment, you want to make sure it's in the second or third person, not the first.
Okay, so first person is, it's you. It's in your own vision, first person. Second person, how would he define who the second person is?
It would be like if you're in your Porsche, you're driving it, you're seeing the steering wheel, you're playing with the radio, you're shifting gears. That would be first person. You're okay. Looking through the windshield. Second person would be me watching you drive by.
Okay.
Third person would be us. We were in a movie, and a person is watching the movie. So if they're watching me, watching you drive by, and watching all the scenery around it, that would be the third person.
Oh, as if we were in a movie theater watching. Okay, so and in the movie, we see a scene of you watching me in a Porsche.
Right.
Okay.
So that would be the third person.
Interesting.
So that's part of the techniques in visualization when you visualize the end goal. So you do visualize the end goal, but there's some modifications to it. But again, when you do the visualization, it's all about the technique to get you there. And there will be many people who say, don't worry about how you're going to get it. It's the hows or the domain of the universe. Don't worry about it. That is true to an extent where you can't be so rigid in how you're going to achieve your goal. However, you have to know a path to walk on, because if you're going to go climb a mountain and you go, oh, I don't care how I get there, the universe is going to bring me up to the top of it, you're never going to take a step. You have to start taking a step and you have to start taking action. So by visualizing taking correct action in the proper way, you'll be moving forward. And then if you hit a detour and move around it, you go back and visualize something else and move something else. But you can't just not know how you're going to get to your goal. That's just it's kind of silly. It's like saying, oh, I'm going to visualize New York City and, oh, it's so beautiful. How are you going to get there? I don't know.
Yeah, and who knows how – maybe you do get there, but maybe it's because you have to because you need to board a connecting flight to going somewhere else.
Right.
Which isn't really, you get to New York City, but you're not, it's not really still self-serving.
Right. I mean, you think about any long trip you take by car. You always map out the directions. You know where you're going. You map it out. And you know what? Sometimes there's a road closure and you hit a detour and you move around it. Great. You do that. It's the same thing with visualization. You visualize the specific techniques and you're prepared to modify them. Mm-hmm. And it's just correct and continue. Cybernetics talks about this very specifically with guidance missiles and airplanes. They're off course more than they're on course, and they know where they're going. Everything, I mean, even animals with instinct knows the migration path they're taking. They don't leave it to the universe. So to just visualize and not care how you get there is pretty irresponsible, and you need to take responsibility for your own actions.
How much attention to detail should you spend on your visualization? I mean, how realistic and detail-oriented should your visualization be?
Well, if you look at the perspective from an athlete, it should be as vivid as if you're performing the act.
So, like, for instance, like the green color turf has to be as green as the actual turf he's playing on?
Exactly. So if you're a football player, you want to be able to see the ball coming into your hand if you're a receiver, catching it, tucking it under your arm, stiff arming your opponent, tight roping the sideline and jumping over the goal line to score. You have to see all of that.
Even feeling the laces on the football in your hand.
The more vivid the experience, mm-hmm. the more vivid, because again, we talked about last time, when you visualize in that much detail, you are firing off the synapses in the brain that control those muscles. Mm-hmm. And so you're basically practicing for when that happens. So you can practice, and that's basically what all visualization is. It's practicing without physically doing it.
Mm-hmm. So suppose that you are playing football and you also visualize yourself being tackled and you're hitting the ground at such a big impact. Does that prepare you for when the real tackle occurs?
No, that would prepare you to make a mistake to get tackled.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, we gave an example, or I gave a case example last week about basketball players practicing their free throws. Well, it'd be pretty stupid mm-hmm. to practice in your mind free throws missing. I mean, that's kind of silly. You want to practice the success. You want to ingrain the success. However, we are a society of negative thinking. I was listening to some information recently, and we have over 550,000 words in the English language. We only use 2,000 of them, and we only use basically 12 words to describe our emotions throughout the day. Majority of them are negative emotions. We only use about 2 or 3 to describe our positive emotions, and the majority of them, 10 to 7 of them, are negative emotions. So it's just one of those, the more defined we can get with it, it's easier to visualize. So is that okay with the techniques? Kind of
yes.
Clear on that? Very good. The other thing that is really, it pertains to time empowerment is cleaning up your past. And this is really, when I discovered this and utilized it, it makes so much sense. You know, you can't build a future on a past that hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of called insanity.
Yeah. I mean, and yet we do it over and over again. So we think visualization is going to work because we're doing something different. No, we're building a future on a past that didn't work. And that past is accumulation of all our experiences, which are good because that's who we are right now. However, there are those experiences in there that have some unsupportive energy or negative energy associated with them. Maybe we had, we're still mad at an ex-lover or ex-spouse that divorced us or left us. We still hold a lot of resentment to that. We may have some resentment towards other folks. We may have some anger. We may have some sadness. We may have some guilt. And if we don't resolve that through time empowerment, putting forward goals is going to bring all that energy in Huna, they call it Akka, these Akka cords, these energetic cords. We're going to bring forward all of the, or put in our future, those goals, but with them is going to come all of that negative energy. And so we're going to keep experiencing what we're always experiencing.
Is this the same as these negative bags you have in your body?
Yeah, Huna talks about these black bags that we carry when we have these different experiences, and they are presented to us by our unconscious mind at sometimes what we feel inappropriate times. You'll be walking along a mall or a street, and all of a sudden you have a flashback of an ex-girlfriend, and you go, "Why am I thinking about that now? That, you know, I'm very happy now. It just ruined my day." Well, your unconscious says, "Here's a good time to deal with it." In Hawaii, they deal with it right then and there. The first settlers came out to Hawaii from England and other places, they made notice that the Hawaiians had no psychological problems, no emotional problems, no nothing, because whatever arose, they dealt with it right then and there.
It's not because of the palm trees and the beach and the nice hotels.
No, that was way before then. Now I think they do have psychological problems because of all the hotels. But they dealt with their emotions immediately. They didn't stuff them back down to deal with them, quote, later, which we never do. They dealt with them immediately. And it was perfectly acceptable to stop what you're doing, go over and either get consultation or get coaching. Well, that wasn't called coaching back then. But get some sort of work to relieve those emotions right then, there in the moment. And then you moved on and it was all done. So part of time empowerment helps you. There's a process which we can't go into right here. I do it one-on-one with folks or in group sessions. But there's a process where you go back into your timeline and resolve those issues. And there's a specific technique on resolving those issues about observing them from a perspective where those emotions or the event is not charged anymore. So you would remove anger, sadness, fear, and guilt. And then you come back to now, and then you set your goal in the future. Then you go and visualize your Porsche, put it in the future, and come back now. And now you're putting it in the future with clean energy, with a completely clean slate.
So in other words, you're removing the batteries that's giving these past emotions or past events any kind of charge.
Exactly, a negative charge. Exactly. And you know, the word negative, it's all perspective. There are some energies that are useful, either negative or disempowering is fine. But yeah, exactly, that's a right, good way. So you're back there unplugging it. And so those emotions aren't charged anymore, and you're able to take your new goal and put in the future completely clean. And that's another important part of the law of attraction, is that it's presumed that it's put forward with clean, purposeful intent and a clean position on that. So does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I really liked the point you bring up about how the Hawaiians, when they dealt with issues, they dealt with them immediately. I can give an example. For instance, suppose that, you know, you're at work and your boss choose you out on the work you've done, or you've been, you know, getting a lot of hell from your spouse or family member. You know, your family member is giving you a really hard time. You know, it's a it's a natural reaction to just trying to like push away or push or force away, you know, the kind of feelings that come up, because, you know, either you want to stand strong or you don't want to show any kind of emotional outburst. But at the same time, when you're pushing away those feelings, they stay with you, and then they resurface sometime, like when you're at the mall or you're driving and you're having a good day, and all of a sudden you're just not feeling so good and you don't know why, and it's because these emotions that you gave life to are springing up.
Exactly. And to take this to a more metaphysical level, imagine just being yelled at by your boss and you have to call a client. Mm-hmm. Or you're writing an email and you have that energy of anger and frustration and you're writing this email. And you may think you're using okay words, but it hits the client or hits the recipients and they go, what is this guy talking about? And they receive that, quote, anger through words, punctuations, whatever you're doing, because you're doing it unconsciously. And then, or you're talking to a client and you're not in the best mood. All these things have a backlash. Mm-hmm. And to deal with it right then and there is really important.
And when the client rejects you, what do you get? More anger from your boss.
Exactly. So part of that, there's part of the dealing with these emotions when they happen immediately. And then there are those dealing with the emotions that we've stuffed down that come up. Mm-hmm. And then they deal with those immediately also. Again, the example of an ex-girlfriend breaking up with you and you're walking down the street and it's a beautiful day and you have these feelings and you say, oh, I'll deal with it later, or what's going on here? Well, you sit down underneath the palm tree and you clean them out. You go back and clean out those experiences. If you don't, you're just going to be continuing to add on to these unsupportive emotions and placing them in your goals in the future. And it's going to be very difficult to reach them.
Is it still possible to reach these goals if you have these negative emotions or these negative bags you're carrying with you?
Well, the word possible, so anything is possible, okay, right? So anything is possible. However, wouldn't it be more fun, more gooder to stack the odds in your favor and clean up the past so that you have a better chance of hitting those goals either quicker or more fulfilling or lasting? Because you may hit that goal and keep it, or you may hit the goal, but you won't be able to keep it because of the anger or the frustration or the guilt that comes up with it. You may use that energy to propel you forward, but once you've received it, then what?
Right. Yeah, you still haven't resolved any kind of issues from the past.
Right, and then the chances are that you could absolutely lose it. Donald Trump is a perfect. I mean, he keeps going up and down with his wealth, up and down his wealth, and not that I'm an expert, but I would say that maybe there's some cleaning up there and that should be addressed. So that's part of it, right? So the techniques we talked about a little bit about cleaning up the past, which is really, really important. And again, you know, if folks are interested in this, this is such a in-depth technique that really isn't possible to do in a podcast like this. So please contact me individually if you like to do a time empowerment to clean it up. Or actually, if you have a group of folks that, you know, 5 to 10 that would want to do it as a group, we can do this over Skype or over the phone or in person as well.
How personal can these sessions become? Because I can imagine that this type of session can become very personal if it's something that can't be done on a podcast.
Right. Part of it is that the way it's handled. However, there's not a lot of verbal exchange between myself and the client. I walk them through their imagination, or not their imagination, their memories. They don't need to tell me what they're experiencing. I can tell by their face, their posture, their physiology, what's going on, if they're releasing it or not. So it's not that they have to divulge a whole bunch of information with me, but it takes time to set up the relaxation part, get them into the state, have them access their timeline, because a lot of people just don't know what the timeline is, and it takes time to have them, I don't want to say play, but experience their timeline, float above it, float forward, float back. then go find the experiences that they want to release. And there's some of those, but the information of the experience is completely confidential unless they want to share that. Mm-hmm. But it just takes the time to set all of that up. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, do that in workshops and over the phone. It can be done. It's just really can't be done for a group individuals here. So that's clean up the past. And the perspective, I think we covered pretty well, right? The first person, second person, and third person mm-hmm. perspective. That's important as well. So when you're setting your goal in the future, visualizing it, you know, look at it as a second person perspective. So pull away. It's called disassociation. Mm-hmm. When you're visualizing your techniques to get there, that wants to be absolutely first person. You want to experience it with as much sensory acuity as possible. You want to feel the textures with your hands, smell the aromas. You want to see what you would see there, hear what you would hear, feel what you would feel, feel both internally and externally. That's real first person perspective. And then finally, right, it's this rapport with your unconscious. Many, you know, back to Carl Jung and even before then, you know, we don't really have three or two different minds, right? There's, it's all part of this invisible, this meta invisible part of us that has the conscious, the unconscious, our higher self, and, you know, the infinite intelligence or God for some folks. It's not distinct and separate. They're just sub areas of that. So if we're out of rapport with our unconscious knows what's best for us because it's getting its directions from our highest self. Mm-hmm. Our higher self communicates with our unconscious communicates with our conscious. And the process of NLP helps with the communication between conscious and unconscious. HUNA helps with the communication between higher self and unconscious.
And it seems that when these three separate minds are apart, it feels like we can easily distinguish them as three separate forms of consciousness. However, when they're all aligned, it's all in one.
Right.
And also, it's just, I guess it's also how you view it. If there's some, you know, if there's something wrong with the way you're thinking that is preventing you from connecting to your unconscious and then from your unconscious to your higher self, we have to fix it.
Right. And I'm sure, for an example, I'm sure everybody, and especially us, you've had to make a decision on something. It is maybe not so important, maybe important, but you had a gut feeling on which way to go. But logically, you thought it out to go the other way. Mm-hmm. And you went the other way and it was the wrong decision. You said, oh, I should have gone with my gut. How many times have you said that?
Oh, all the time.
Right? That gut is your unconscious. Mm-hmm. And when we don't get what we want is because we're out of rapport with that. We're not listening to it. So sometimes it talks to us very strongly and sometimes it doesn't. But if we would listen to our unconscious and be in rapport, I mean, Milton Erickson pretty much said that most people go see him or hypnotherapist is because they're out of rapport with their unconscious. When you use hypnosis, you're communicating with the individual's unconscious. Mm-hmm. So by getting back into rapport with your conscious and listening to it and communicating and then taking action on it, mm-hmm. you're acknowledging, I'm listening to you, you're worth listening to, and it's going to help you more and more. If you ask for advice from your unconscious and you do the opposite, I mean, if you had a friend that came and asked you what to do, suggested, and was very sincere about it, and you advised this friend, and they kept doing the opposite, how often would you provide information every time they came to you?
Yeah.
If they don't listen to you and they keep screwing up when you know they should be doing something else, the same thing with your unconscious. Your unconscious is never going to abandon you, but it's going to go, why bother? So by being in rapport, and part of being in rapport with your unconscious is meditating, going, doing self-hypnosis, communicating with it. We did that self-hypnosis two, 3 weeks ago, right, on how to do a self-hypnosis where you see three things externally, three things, and you walk yourself through it, ask your unconscious mind to solve a problem. So all of these are techniques to get into rapport with your unconscious. when you get into rapport, you can then start to ask your unconscious some questions. And a really good method is the pendulum method. You can take a pendulum, ask your unconscious mind to show you a sign for yes, a sign for no. It'll show you with the pendulum, and then you ask it a yes or no question, and it will swing. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you better listen and take action on it. Hmm. So part of, you know, this whole getting, wrapping this all up back to the law of attraction is, one, we may be setting goals that may not be in aligned with our unconscious. Mm-hmm. So if we talk to our unconscious about our goals that we want to get, and then we get into rapport with it, we clean up our past, we do our perspectives of putting the goal out in the future, and then visualize our techniques, and then take action, it works. Mm-hmm. Absolutely works.
When you're meditating, have you ever asked your unconscious just to come to you or just to open up to you instead of trying to reach for the unconscious? You just let it come?
And that's actually part of journey work.
Okay.
With journey work, it's you set an intention beforehand, at least the way I've been taught and the way I practice is, and the unconscious will talk to you in pictures in journey work, right? So you'll have a power animal, you'll have symbols, you'll have other things, but it's basically your unconscious and higher conscious that is talking to you. But you set an intention, you say, I'm going to go talk to you, and you go there, and then you ask questions, and it comes to you. So you're basically going to your unconscious as opposed to your unconscious going to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Because sometimes when I meditate, you know, I don't try too hard. I just let go and just allow my unconscious to communicate with me, and I get these, you know, I get some pretty, you know, nice feeling sensations. You know, it feels really, really warm. You know, I get a feel like a support blanket around me.
Right. Yeah, and that's the Snuggie, right, that they sell on TV.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that feeling can come from, right, we talked about the conscious and the unconscious is separated by what's called this critical factor. Mm-hmm. And so they're already together. So there's no place to go to or go from. But what happens is when you get into state, when you close your eyes, meditate, that critical factor evaporates. So now it's all one, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So yeah. You kind of blending with your unconscious at that point. And then somebody comes and puts the Snuggie on you, yeah. And then you feel nice and warm.
It's like the border patrolman is out to lunch.
Right. Yep. And everybody can cross.
Yes. Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, that I think we've really, really hit these for the past 3 weeks. And it's one of those subjects which I really like a lot, because visualization, when done correctly, visualization is used when you anchor, because you have to visualize your experiences that you've had. It's used in determining how to solve a problem. Visualization is so critical in almost all of our aspects of life that the more you can control those aspects of visualization, the better you're going to see your success.
Wonderful.
So with that, remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And if you don't take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.